This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're going to continue right now with our series, Reimagining the American Labor Force. 10 people in our construct, roughly matching the characteristics of all 164 million of us who the Bureau of Labor Statistics includes in the workforce. 10 people we are profiling with this question in mind. They're the ones making this economy work, but is this economy working for them? This is the United States of Work.
There's always things that you don't like about your job.
You work hard for what you want.
You know, every job has your ups and downs.
Whatever good job means.
I like the hustle. I like working fast.
That's not a career. It's a lifestyle.
My name is Scott Anzalone. I'm a family physician in rural Logan, Ohio.
Not familiar, are you?
So it's a small town about an hour south of Columbus, about 7,500 people, and it's a quiet, great place to raise children.
Scott Anzalone, he's 51, has lived in Logan for 20 years. He's an Ohio native, so is his wife, and like he said, he's a family doctor.
I'm the last one in private practice in our area, actually in most of southeastern Ohio. There's a couple others, but I'm the last one in Logan in Haakon County.
To be clear here, there is a small hospital in town, so it's not like he's the only doctor around, but he is the only one running his own practice in a renovated old building right downtown.
Been built in 1867. The original owner owned the stagecoach company that went from Pomeroy to Columbus, and they lived there, and that was the stagecoach stop.
Just like two of the people we introduced you to last week, Michael Durant, the CPA in New York City, and Stephanie Silverman at the movie theater in Nashville, Scott Anzalone fits into the slice of the labor force that the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, calls management, professional, and related occupations. They're about 40% of that 164 million people, by the way, the biggest slice overall. And with his business, Stagecoach Family Medicine, Dr. Anzalone ticks another box in our types of worker checklist. Like about 9 million other Americans, or a little more than 5% of the workforce, he's self-employed.
My philosophy in my office has always been to provide 90% of the care that walks through my door. So my scope of practice is pretty wide. The biggest part of my practice that's difficult is offering employees competing salaries. When everybody's employed by large systems, they can offer huge benefits and, you know, all the perks and pluses of being employed, and I can't. So it's been tough making sure I keep staff and keep them happy.
It's actually an interesting point that not only are you a primary care physician, but you're running a small business.
Right, right. I'm the owner. I'm the employer. Yeah. I'm the physician, and I'm also the plumber sometimes.
Right.
So,
would it have been easier for you if you had just been in Columbus working for a medical group instead of out in Logan doing what you do?
Yeah. Not sort of, but not really. I think when I came to town, everyone was in private practice. That's just what we did. There wasn't all this corporate medicine. Everyone has either getting out because of the cost and not being able to compete as well. But a lot of people don't want to have to deal with the business end of medicine. It would be easier in the sense that I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, hiring an employee or firing an employee or dealing with, you know, the internet when it's down and we'd have no medical records and those things, yes. But I also have the flexibility to, because I am the boss, if you will, I have the flexibility with my time some. I also have the flexibility to treat my patients the way I feel they should be treated, not how the corporation tells me to treat them.
Back up for a minute to that whole internet thing. You are out in rural America. We hear all the time about how that part of the country, writ large, right, that slice of this country does not have internet. That's a business impact for you?
Oh, it definitely is. Many of our parts of our county don't have good internet service. Actually, just today, my own home just got upgraded for the first time in forever because we basically had such bad service. We'll see how much better it is. But where I run into a problem is, you know, when I had paper charts, unless there's a fire, basically, I had access to my patient records. Mm-hmm. And occasionally, we'd have our power goes out. It's not uncommon for it to go out. And when it goes out, I could light my lanterns and open my charts and see my patients. Now, when the internet's down, we are dead in the water. I mean, have nothing.
You have a second job as well, right?
On the side, yeah. I work for Ohio University. I'm on faculty down there, and I teach medical students. And I also run a third-year longitudinal integrated clerkship program.
Do you do it because you want to or because you have to?
Well, I do it because I do. I love teaching. That's why that was the origin of it. I love rural medicine, and this program is I designed it to encourage our young new physicians to go into underserved areas, either urban or rural. But also, it also allows me to have some benefits through the university, some dental and eye insurance, and it allows me to get some time in the state teacher's retirement system. It's not a lot. You know, my retirement is what I can save myself, and this was just another little avenue that I could actually hopefully build up enough in my nest egg so I can retire someday.
How's it going recruiting young doctors to take up rural practice? I mean, have you asked some of the, you know, your best and brightest graduate, have you said to him or her, hey, come on down and be a partner in my practice?
Oh, yeah. I've been looking for a partner for at least 3 years now, and I've sent letters out. I hit every residency locally. We have a couple small rural residencies, and we just can't get anyone who wants to come to a small town. They don't want to go into private practice. They're being told they can't. They shouldn't. They can't afford to. Our medical students are coming out of college with – medical school with, you know, average $300,000, $400,000 in debt. And, you know, they're afraid they're not going to be able to pay that back if they're in rural family medicine.
It's a little sad. I mean, what are you going to do when – so you're 51. You're going to work for another 20 years plus or minus, right? What are you going to do when you retire? What's going to happen to your patients and their care?
I don't know. And that's been my dilemma at this point is, you know, I have between 3,500 to 4,000 patients.
Wow. And, that's a lot of patients.
I'm stretched. It's a lot of patients. And I have to sleep at night. And there have been times I'm like, I can't keep going at this pace and I need some help. But if I – and I've had other opportunities presented to me, but I'm like, where are my patients going to go? We don't have someone to take that. And when you work in a community, a small community, I mean, you don't just punch in and punch out. You don't work 40 hours a week. It's not a, I always tell my students, it's not a career, it's a lifestyle.
So that was Scott Anzalone, the seventh stop in our 10-person journey through the American labor force. Coming up tomorrow.
On my days off, I'm kind of a little sad that I'm not at my branch with my people.
Number 8. Remember, you can check out all 10 people right now and read about how we picked them at marketplace.org/work.